morning, everybody. Thanks for being here. Really looking forward to the game this week at Wrigley Field. Should be a great venue and environment for our fans and our players, so really looking forward to that. Players responded really well last night, had a great practice. That's what I love about this team. They come in, respond, want to grow, want to get better, and you can't ask much more from a college football team when it doesn't go your way on the road against a really good opponent. So really proud of our team for their resolve and their response, but we got to get better as we keep going forward, and that's what we talked to them about last night. So with that, we'll open up for questions.
PG, you've talked a lot about kind of embracing scars this year, maybe more than other years. Why has that been a theme for you guys?
Well, I think just a life theme. I don't know if it's just necessarily this year. I think every year brings a lot of great times, and it brings a lot of hard times. I think our scars remind us of where we've been. I think that's necessary. And you look at our football team, for the most part, pretty young and inexperienced football team at a lot of key positions. Again, that's not an excuse for anything. It's just it is what it is. And those guys have to – you can't skip steps in the journey of development. And those scars remind us of where we've been, and you're going to have to be able to have those scars at some point. Because when you look at it, I mean, it'll bring you back to some of your hardest times and what you were able to overcome and the fortitude to continue to move forward. So, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily more scars or less scars necessarily than any other year, but we promote the embracement of and embracing all of those scars and not ignoring those.
PJ, can you give a little update? It's been a while since I've asked about NIL and where things are at with that.
Yeah, I think that's a talk for right maybe 12 days from now. Our focus is only on Northwestern. It really is. It's a huge topic in the country. It's a huge topic in college football, especially when you look at like maybe the top 12 teams as you kind of look at tomorrow night when the college football playoff rankings come out, but where everybody is. But I think that's just a huge, huge discussion for another day. But we're working really hard at it, Dave. Working really, really hard at it, that's for sure.
That's just one thing with the run game all season. And you talk about your three criteria you always use to evaluate what's going on. Mm-hmm. So when you look at those three buckets, how do you kind of use it to evaluate what the run game is at?
Yeah, I mean, it's either personnel, coaching, or scheme, right? And the coaching, talking fundamentals and details, it's all of it. I think every time we play, we learn more and more about our football team. I think you have to do that, whether you're playing your 12th game, whether you're playing your third game, you're always learning about your team. I think everybody in our organization takes ownership for why things have gone well and why things haven't gone well. It's about owning those scars. And in the run game, you know, we've had some games where we've been really, really good in the run game, and some games we haven't been good in the run game. Our best players in the run game that have been carrying the ball haven't been really in there pretty much all year. But we still should be able to do what we need to do. And that falls upon the coaching staff, that falls upon the players, falls upon everybody in the organization. It's a mindset to be able to establish that. Some of the games we've played in have got us away from that a lot earlier than we wanted to get away from. But I think no matter what, we're always going to hang our hat on the run game. And whether that's a ton or whether we're forced into doing it not as much, I mean, that's our DNA and that's who we are. And so we've got to continue to improve in that. But it's a mixture of all three, Ryan, that's for sure.
PJ, what are your thoughts on playing at Wrigley?
Yeah, excited. I mean, I grew up a Cubs fan, still am a Cubs fan. You know, growing up near Chicago, you know, you pick one or the other. And my dad was a Chicago White Sox fan, and so you kind of pick the opposite so you can cheer against him, you know, just to be able to make it fun. But I've always loved the Cubs, Ryan Sandberg, and, you know, I grew up in the Sammy Sosa era and the Mark Grace era, and just a lot of fun to follow the Cubs. So I was there on a high school field trip when Kerry Wood threw the 20, I think it was 20 strikeouts, is that right? So I was there, school field trip. It was awesome. And anytime anybody brings that up, I was like, wow, I was actually there for that game. That was a lot of fun. I wasn't one of the kids holding up the K's and, you know, in the bleachers, but we were right there. And there wasn't a ton of people there. And so we just kept moving down as the game went on, which was really kind of fun. So, but yeah, it's going to be a really special moment for our players. And just, you get to play in a different venue and historic venue. It's fun to be able to say you played at Wrigley Field. We played in a lot of baseball stadiums and a lot of bowl games and things like that, but Wrigley Field definitely has a special place in my heart, and I think that'll be a lot of fun.
PJ, your offensive line's kind of been a work in progress at times. Yeah. Where have you seen them grow? What are they doing better now?
Well, I think that they're becoming a better five. You know, I think that's that's maybe one thing as you continue to go forward, you learn as a coach. Remember, not only are our players learning through this new era of college football, I'm learning through this era of college football. I'm not like anybody else. I mean, I learn and grow and have to challenge myself and change and adapt. And you learn what does work and maybe what doesn't work. And you adapt that for the next year. And you continue to make yourself better. But I think our guys are becoming better as five. I think it's you would love to have five guys as freshmen and then develop all the way through and have the next five right behind that. I don't know how realistic that is now in 2025. When you look at it, I think they're playing better as a five. But we have to just play more consistent. That's the biggest key that we took away from the game in Oregon is we had some really good moments, some great moments, but they just weren't consistent enough. And whether it's one guy out of the five or three guys out of the five or two guys out of the five, we just have to play more consistent. But I do like that they are coming together more and more as the year is going on.
PJ, Northwestern looks like a really physical team.
Yep.
That plays really, really hard. What are their specific strengths?
Well, one, they tackle really well. They do a lot of the simple things at a very high level. Tim McGargle's a really good play caller. He's a really good football coach. He was on our staff when we were at Western Michigan, and I have a lot of respect for what he does. And when you peel back the onion on him, it's the simplistic things. It's the simple things that allow them to be really successful. They tackle really well. They swarm to the ball. They play the ball really well. They keep things in front of them. Their front seven are very, very active. But very, very physical, that's for sure. Then you look on the other side of the ball and they want to establish the run game. They definitely want to do that. They've got guys who can go up and make plays on 50-50 balls. They have a great mindset. And those guys have been playing with each other for a long time when you kind of look at their roster and how they've come up through the ranks. They've done a really good job.
After talking with Danny and rewatching the tape defensively, what are the biggest areas you want to grow off that Oregon game?
Well, I think just in general how we play, right? I think sometimes when we get in a position, we press, whether that's offense, defense, or special teams. I think when you have, again, an inexperienced team at a lot of different positions at times and key positions, the lack of experience and the maturity piece come into play. And guys are trying to make a play. I think that's kind of been the theme in some games all year is guys are trying to make the play, trying to get a takeaway, get the turnover, instead of just do the routine play. And takeaways will come from us doing our job with incredible how, effort, and great fundamentals and technique. And whether that's scheme or whether that's fundamentals, they will be there. They will present themselves. But I think as you go through the year, people think they have to make the play in some of those big games. And we've had some great opponents on the road, some top five opponents on the road, top 20 opponent on the road. And I feel like maybe that's been just a little bit of a press to make the plays instead of just allowing us to play within the scheme that we're creating and the fundamentals we develop. So that's what I see. And that's when we dissected and peeled back the onion a little bit on the defensive side, that's what we saw. But never question how hard our guys play, that's for sure.
Can you take us through a little bit how you prepare, PJ, as far as footwear, going to that field later in the year now, kind of cold weather football and field that was played on last week?
Yeah, a baseball field, new grass, played on last week. It's supposed to rain a little bit on Friday, so I'm sure it'll be that long. We've already started that last night at practice, so all the guys were wearing certain cleats and different cleats that Brady, our equipment manager, presents to us, and finding out what guys like and how good they feel in them, and just getting the feel for a different cleat. So, that's pretty much it. That's what you prepare for. So, we talked about that in the off season as well.
Because you wanted to follow up on talking to Eugene about kind of the macro level of how you feel about this program and closing the gap with some of the best in the business.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it wasn't a great choice of words for me in talking about closing the gap. But, yeah, I mean, I feel like we are going to continue to compete at the highest level. And that's the person I am. That's the competitor I am. I wouldn't coach if I didn't think that. But just because you want that doesn't mean that's going to happen. We're sitting 6-4. There's a lot of really good football teams in the country that are 6-4, including us. It's really, really hard to win in 2025. There's not many undefeated teams anymore. And you look across the board, I think when you're looking at the two big conferences, whether the SEC or the Big Ten, we said this years ago, right? With 18 teams and 16 teams, We're going to beat up on each other. The records might not look like the records of the old, right? So what is a top 20 team? What is a top 25 team? Is a 7-3 SEC team ranked really high because of who they play? Probably they should be. Big Ten teams that are 7-3 ranked pretty high? Probably should be. I mean, it is a gauntlet schedule. And, you know, there's a lot of things that have to go your way. But that's what we'll always strive for, Andy. And I think not just closing the gap, to Dave's question, with NIL is a big piece of that, right? Where the funds go is a big piece of that. Development's a big piece of that. Retention's a big piece of that. Cultural sustainability is a piece of that. It all goes into this formula. And if it was easy, everybody, you know, be 12-0 and everybody be at the top. Everybody's striving to do that. But that's what I love about being here, because we have that mindset that we will. But again, closing the gap on that, Andy, maybe I shouldn't necessarily just use those words. But yeah, to be able to get to where we want to go, we have to play better. We have to continue to recruit at a high level. We have to retain at a high level. And we have to continue to invest in our program, which, again, we'll continue to do and find ways to do it at an elite level. That's how you're able to do it. And consistency really helps, whether that's in the football game or whether that's in the development and the progress of our culture. Consistency is everything. And we're doing everything we can and have to continue to change our best and adapt as we keep moving forward.
What have you seen out of your special teams that looks like they're growing moving forward here?
Yeah, I mean, we're growing. I think, Randy, holistically, it comes down to the fundamentals and techniques to everything that we do. You know, our special teams, when you look at it through the film's eyes, you're always going to say, okay, why couldn't we have done that better? Well, it comes down to the fundamentals and details within the scheme. And that's the biggest thing we have to continue to improve on in the special teams part. It's just the fundamentals and technique within the scheme. I thought our guys played really hard on special teams. I thought we covered really well. You got to give them credit, though. They're a really good football team. And they played really, really well. I mean, we played Ohio State at Ohio State. Ohio State played really well. We played Iowa at Iowa. They played really well. We played Oregon at Oregon. They played really well. This isn't like they had 5 turnovers, right? And we're at their place, and we're in it. They played really well. The catches those young people made, those skill players, there were times we contested them and they made it. Sometimes we didn't contest it, and they still made it. That quarterback put the ball where a lot of times their guy could only get it, or that ball was out of bounds, and they made some fantastic catches. And you got to give them credit. They're really good athletes and really good players. They don't make some of those plays, maybe the game looks a little bit different. But when you play a top-five team, you have to be really good in all phases. Special teams a big piece of that. I thought Brady did a really good job of doing his job and put it through the uprights. I thought our opening drive, you know, coming down the field after halftime, our guys could have, you know, it's 28-6, go down a score, make it 28-13, get back into the game. But ultimately, they did a really good job of getting the ball to the hands of the playmakers and doing a really good job making those plays.
PJ, a couple of weeks ago, Mike Grant won his 400th game. He's at 401 now. Two other coaches in the state that have ever won more than Mike. I know you met him a long time ago as an assistant coach. Do you have a quick Mike Grant story or just a couple thoughts about Mike?
No, one thing I will say about Mike Grant is that, you know, he treats everybody the same, and that's what I respect about him. I remember when I first met him, I was at Northern Illinois University, and one thing that I really liked about him was sometimes when you're at different schools in the old recruiting model, you'd have to wait because there was a logo in there, and the guy would come in the logo, and you'd have an appointment, and the logo would move in front of you, if you know what I mean when I say logo. And they'd move in front. Next thing you know, there's 5 coaches that pass you, and you're just kind of over here because you're in a lower-level Division I school. Mike Grant never did that, ever. Nope, you had an appointment. Didn't matter who was in there. If the Minnesota Vikings were in there, well, maybe Minnesota Vikings. But he would say, listen, he has an appointment. He's going to get the full respect, and he's going to be able to get everybody that we have. And I love that about that. Him, because I was a very regimented recruiter, and I had a schedule, and I was going to keep that schedule, and I was going to get to a lot of schools, but he was always so gracious to everybody. It didn't matter who you were. When you walked in that school, you got his best, you got his time, and it was not like he'd rush you out of there either. Story after story after story. Mike Grant can tell stories. I'm sure you all know that. He can tell some stories, and he gave you that time, and whether that was Mike Grant, whether that was Coach Nelson, that's the feel I always got from the high school coaches here in the state of Minnesota, and Mike's always led the charge on that. So congratulations to him. That's a lot of wins. That's a good for him. That's a lot of time coaching. That's for sure. Talk about the sustainability and the consistency piece. My hat's off to him. That's for sure.
Any uniqueness to a connection with David Braun?
Not really. No, I have a lot of respect for what he's done and how he's done it. I think the situation he was put in a few years ago is really, really difficult. And the way he's been able to keep that program competing at a very, very high level and not lose that DNA of the physicality, how hard they play, how smart they play, and the culture they have. I mean, that's really tough to do. And I have a lot of respect for him. Get to see each other in, you know, Big Ten meetings, and I think he's a fantastic defensive football coach. The guys play incredibly hard for him. He's really passionate about his team. I'd like to think that we are too, you know, and I think that's what's so fun about coaching against guys that you know and have a lot of similarities in terms of how you build a team and you build it, you know, on the toughness piece and doing a lot of the fundamentals at a high level. And I think he's really, really good at that. And really, really smart man and a really good person. So really good football coach. Got a ton of respect for him.
PJ, right now is a really tough time in the season, but also a really tough time academically for students. How are you making sure that your student athletes are balancing both being a student and an athlete?
Well, that's why they're called student first, right? And then athlete second. I know that sometimes we just flip that based on pay for play now and doing all these things with our student athletes, but they're always going to be students first here. I mean, it's well documented what our students do. They're in the first two rows. They're wearing their polos, and they're really being very attentive. I mean, it is a tough part to be a student athlete, not only just with the athletic piece, but the student piece. But Jackie Lenish in our academic advising department does a tremendous job with our tutors, our learning specialists. There's a lot on these players' plates, and I think that sometimes gets overlooked because we're paying them. And so everybody pays them and thinks they're professional athletes. Well, professional athletes don't go to school as well during the season, and our guys do, and they have a lot on their plate. So it's a great question and a really good question to ask, but that's why they're here, and that's where the number one main base of what we do and how we do it is designed. But Jackie Lenish and our students are doing a tremendous job of making sure that the academics are first, and their career is always going to come first, and that's above and beyond the football that they're going to play. We play a very violent game. They could end at any moment for any of them, and they're always going to have that degree in their back pocket. So that's a really, really important question, so I appreciate you asking. Thanks, everybody. Roll the boat, Sky Imago Gophers. See you at Wrigley.